Welcome back. It's a Monday, the 27th day of June, 2022. I'm your host, Mark Hall. And while I know darn well what story it is that I'm basically going to lead off with today, I really had some difficulty deciding how to lead up to it because it's such a big deal. It really needs a bit of background, but not to worry. There's plenty of that today. As you look around a country that is bound and determined to go to hell, figuratively, literally, philosophically, economically, and let's not forget, morally and thus spiritually especially. And lest you think I'm exaggerating, even in the least, let's begin and work up with just a few of the headlines since the Supreme Court decided, hey, let's try reading that Constitution thing. See what's in there. And here's the real kicker, folks. Yeah, what's not? After the first night of, and I'm going to add one word here, you can probably guess which one it is, the first night of satanic rage, we had these headlines before dawn on the weekly Sabbath. Insurrection, said one. Arizona Senate has to be evacuated after pro-murder rioters and teachers breached security there. Chaos in Los Angeles as violent leftists riot over Roe v. Wade being overturned. Here's another one from Seattle where a well-known street preacher was attacked and beaten by a pro-child sacrifice Antifa mob who also destroyed his Bibles. On the disgusting scale, this has got to be pretty high up there, although we're just getting rolling, folks. Radical communist member of the Jihad Squad, Cori Bush, spoke at an infanticide rally. Protesters claim abortion is, quote, an act of love. And remember, folks, love is love, they say. Whether it's old men with little boys, and we saw that in Seattle, and I'm not kidding, we're getting there, or the FDA loving on pre-kindergarten kids to kill them before they turn six, or perverts sniffing the hair of little children. And if you're following the progression here, you know bestiality is on the agenda, too. After all, love is love. How about this story? Satanists claim that they're entitled to abortion as a religious right, R-I-T-E. The Satanic Temple issued their statement after the court ruling on Roe v. Wade, claiming that they're recognized by the IRS, and don't you know, that's all that really counts as a religion, and since they consider infanticide, pre- or post-birth, a religious ritual, those procedures must be allowed under federal law, or what now passes for it. Quote, TST members should be permitted a religious exemption to perform the Satanic Temple's religious abortion ritual. And they added that in order to provide these so-called services, quote, we will take steps, including legal action, to ensure our members do not have to endure hindrances to access. And finally, there's this, out of Communist Canada. Justin Trudeau, arguably the love is love child of Fidel Castro, and he's proven it daily, wept about women in the United States losing the so-called right to control their own bodies. This is the same guy, of course, who wants to control Canadian women's bodies and everybody else's and inject poison in it at will. Said Trudeau, the news coming out of the United States is horrific. My heart goes out. Ooh, there's a disgusting image, isn't it? To the millions of American women who are now set to lose their legal right to an abortion. I can't imagine, he said, the fear and anger you're feeling right now. Well, some of us can imagine it, folks, because if you've been watching these satanic scumbags, you know where they're headed. But here comes the coup de grace. Quote, no government, politician, or man should tell a woman what she can and cannot do with her body. Well, full stop. Unless, of course, we decide we want to gang rape you, violate your breasts or your genitalia with our hands or photographic equipment, and, of course, let's not forget, we can stick needles into that body whenever we blankety-blank-and-well feel like it. But he wasn't done. On the lying scale, he added, I want women in Canada to know that we will always stand up for your right to choose. Well, to choose certain things, not others. And let me tip my hand, folks, because this is where we're headed. You can choose death, but don't you dare choose life. By Sunday, Michael Snyder, the Economic Collapse blog, recapped a couple more pages of these satanic goings-on. He called it the biggest temper tantrum in the history of the once-free United States. And looking particularly at pro-life organizations, he said the violence over the weekend is just beginning. From this point forward, no pro-life organization, or for that matter, perhaps especially nobody who's pro the author of Scripture and God of the universe, will be safe. Early on Saturday morning, police discovered a pro-life center in a conservative part of the state of Virginia had been attacked. Masked vandals broke windows and put threatening graffiti on the wall of the Blue Ridge Pregnancy Center, saying things like, if abortion ain't safe, you ain't safe. In Colorado, another incident which radicals actually tried to burn the pro-life organization to the ground is being treated as arson after the very same messages, coincidentally, were sprayed there at the entrance of the Life Choices Clinic in Longmont, a town on the Front Range of Colorado where your host has actually spent quite a few years. The criminally negligent networks, including not only the namesake but MSNBC, have given endless coverage to the events of January 6th, but asked Snyder poignantly, why are they ignoring what's happening in the rest of the world? Well, except to glorify it just a bit on occasion. And certainly, at the very least, lend what they probably think of as moral support. Maybe the reason has to do with New York City, where not-so-peaceful protesters vandalized the headquarters of Fox News, even suggesting that, too, should be burned down. And as Michael Snyder points out, hey, they're not even really that conservative. While in Los Angeles, a group of very angry far-left radicals decided to shut down the 110 freeway, and one of them attacked a police officer there with a homemade flamethrower. After which, the officer was forced to go to the hospital to be treated for his injuries. In Portland, there were violent protests both Friday and Saturday nights. In Washington, peaceful protesters want to burn down the Supreme Court. Well, this is interesting. Reddit users in the anti-capitalist subreddit group called r/workersstrikeback, which hasn't been shut down, discuss hunting down Supreme Court justices at places like their churches, maybe homes, but they're probably not there, and sending them mail bombs. But you know what, folks? We're still working our way up the violence and perversion chain. Alex Jones' sites and news coverage, including Prison Planet and InfoWars, had stories like the following. Nightmare bombshell in, where else, the streets of Seattle, where children are paraded with naked men, literally celebrating pride and, well, what else? Perversion. I listened to a lot of his Sunday coverage, and I could certainly sympathize with his anger and disgust and maybe even confusion. Do I show these video clips on TV, or is it too disgusting? You know, don't you folks, that if you even have certain kinds of video in your possession, and it's called pedophilia, the FBI will raid you. But here's being done openly in the streets of Seattle. And as Alex Jones points out, it was so over the top, so disgusting, honestly, I don't think people will believe it unless they see it with their own eyes. But if I show it, then the affiliates will be really upset, and rightfully so. Because, hey, this is pornographic. It shouldn't be displayed on TV or even talked about. Kids might be watching. Well, you know what, folks? They are. And he's got pictures right there in the streets of Seattle. And it's not just naked men twerking their genitalia in front of kids, or riding naked on bicycles in front of kids, or even in some cases, it sounds like parading with kids. And those, he said, were just the milder things, the things he might consider showing. The other stuff, he said he watched it, but no way would I ever show it to anybody else. Things like men openly, and I'm not kidding, folks, and this disgusts me even to say, urinating and defecating in one another's mouth. Because, you know, pride. People cutting themselves and similar kinds of literal disgusting perversion. Just to show kids how real sexuality looks, I guess. No way should this be shown on TV. Nor be happening anywhere on the streets of America where children are, in fact, not only likely to be there, but are. And I got to admit it, after all of that, I did see one video that was linked with the following caption. The poster asks, what better way to say we're not grooming kids than parading down the street in front of them, bare-ass naked, wearing nothing but a mask of a famous cartoon character. From there, like it or not, I need to go to something even more disgusting, arguably one of the biggest whoppers of a speech ever given by somebody even masquerading as the chief executive officer of the once great, once free, once even a rule of law kind of a place, United States of America. So let's go through just a bit of the bullshit, folks. I bleep the word, you know what it was, but I think I'm still being too kind.
50 years ago, Roe v. Wade was decided and has been the law of the land since then.
Read Article 1, you blithering moron. All legislative power in the Constitution is given to the Congress of the United States. The U.S. Supreme Court has no authority to write law. They issue opinions, and no, they are not the law of the land. But of course, in the Biden-Führer's United States, there is no law of the land.
This landmark case protected woman's right to choose, her right to make intensely personal decisions with their doctor, free from the interference of politics.
There's a Biden whopper for you. When it comes to being free to make personal decisions with your doctor, well, if the doctor makes a decision we don't like give you ivermectin, we'll go after him with tongs. But as for the woman, we don't care what the doctor wants. We'll inject you, oh, and your mangy little kids, too, with anything we feel like. Oh, yeah, and we'll muzzle you, too, you little slave, you.
It reaffirmed basic principles of equality, that women have the power to control their own destiny, and it reinforced a fundamental right of privacy, the right of each of us to choose how to live our lives.
Well, unless we choose differently for you, you slave you.
Now, with Roe gone, let's be very clear. The health and life of women in this nation are now at risk.
Oh, come on. All right, you get the picture. Of all the stinking, lying, in-your-face whoppers that I've heard in the last year, and there have been a whole hell of a lot of them, folks, that may be one of the stinkiest bits of you-know-what ever forced down the throats of a really gullible American people. Did you take your poison poke? Did you get your DNA modified? Your immune system weakened or even destroyed? Did you get your booster? You slave you? Then your health is almost as much at risk as the babies we want to mass murder. Let's hear just a bit more of the unmitigated BS.
I believe Roe v. Wade was the correct decision as a matter of constitutional law and application of the fundamental right to privacy and liberty in matters of family and personal autonomy.
Ain't that a hoot, folks? You don't have a right to be free of illegal search and seizure. No, you don't have a right, so far as this senile moron is concerned, to say no to being muzzled, figuratively or literally. And don't you dare think you can resist us by force of arms. You slaves don't most certainly have a right to keep and bear arms. And if you don't like it, well, we'll call you crazy. That's why I signed that bill that says the hell with private property in this nation, too. Now, I'm going to play just one more really brief, I promise, clip from this lying sack of, senile criminal perversion. Unfortunately, for these few minutes, diapered only at one end. Listen carefully to this, and we'll come back to some aspects if we have time later on. This puppet just finished putting his mark on a bill that he'll call law that is as gross of a gang rape of the fundamental, actually written in genuine print, constitutional principles, not just of privacy and the right to control your own destiny, but to use physical force, if necessary, against people like him to do so. And literally, the hell with due process, you slaves, you. So, the Supreme Court last week recognized the 14th Amendment right to that in protecting the Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. And ponder the irony, folks. They basically told the Supreme Court in the process to go shove it. You say there's a right to keep and bear arms? You found it right there on the Second Amendment? You say there's a right to due process? Yeah, that's right there in the 14th Amendment? Oh, yeah, and that equal protection under the law crap? Well, we're taking them both away. Call it a red flag if you like. Stroke of the pen, law of the land. Kind of cool, even if outright tyrannical. So, with all of that in mind, listen carefully and ponder the irony, the truth that's seeping through here, and the great big lie that's covering it all up.
Make no mistake. This decision is a culmination of a deliberate effort over decades to upset balance of our law.
It took decades to dumb down the American people. It took decades to convince them that murder is okay and to choose death instead of life. It took decades to undermine the entire Bill of Rights, but we've done it. And it took decades to replace all of that with an in-your-face fake.
It's a realization of an extreme ideology and a tragic error by the Supreme Court, in my view. The court has done what it has never done before, expressly take away a constitutional right that is so fundamental to so many Americans.
That's my job, damn it! That's why the Communist Chinese Party put me right here, so that I can take away what's left of all your fundamental rights.
It just stuns me. So extreme that doctors will be criminalized for fulfilling their duty to care.
Oh, you lying criminal. This is the guy that's forcing doctors to inject people with an untested DNA modification that now, the truth has finally begun to come out, we know, that's killing millions. I'll say it again. This isn't just evil. This isn't just treason. This is truly satanic. Which leads me, finally, to the piece and to the comments that I really intended to lead off with but needed to work up to. This comes from LifeSite News and author John Horvath II. But what really got me to thinking about it was a comment I heard from Olin Schroyer on Sunday afternoon's Alex Jones show. He was reporting live from some events having to do with baby killing, sacrifices to Molech, and outright Satanism in the Austin area. And he made some comments that I thought were basically insightful, but honestly, not quite wrong, but certainly that fell short of the mark. The left, he said, has made abortion about morality. And the problem, the thing they don't want people to realize, is that if abortion is murder, well, it can't be moral anymore now, can it? So they have to prevent people from waking up and realizing that abortion really is murder. And to that end, he suggested, they'll go to the mat. On the other hand, folks, your host disagrees. I think they do realize. Matter of fact, they're proud of it. Abortion is murder. They love killing kids, and that's the thing that is so shocking to most Americans. Abortion is murder, and what they're doing is they're redefining morality, because death now is moral, and anything that leads to death is good and to be encouraged, and that's precisely what everything that I've been leading in the news up to this point has been making clear. And that includes the Biden-Fuhrer not only glorifying death, but saying, hey, once we take your guns away, we can do it to our heart's content, America. Buckle up. The LifeSite News article from John Horvat says it this way. The pro-abortion movement has now become so radical, it's even left the radical left feminists behind. And here we go. And I'll probably not be able to resist the desire and the importance of commenting occasionally in line here. The left's narrative, he writes, has long been a feminist tale of oppression. For 50 years, the abortion movement has revolved around the myth that it safeguards women's health. And that's kind of tough to sell in a day when they're killing women, men, and children en masse now, isn't it? For this reason, he adds, abortion is expressed in terms of women's bodies with cries of, yeah, the idiotic refrain, my body, my choice. Because you know what, folks? Again, your body, no, it's not your choice. The only choice you have is, hey, death. You can kill kids, but you certainly can't protect your body or your kids, and you don't have any choice except that one. Men, he adds, need not opine, but suddenly a strange new crack has appeared on the abortion movement horizon that disputes this narrative. Medical organizations, advocacy groups, and leftist politicians are changing the rhetoric. They no longer even use the word woman in the abortion debate because the movement has gone woke and is leaving behind feminists who now represent yesterday's revolution. The New York Times, he says, writing it as a stab in the back, and Michael Powell quoted a pro-abortion tweet by the American Civil Liberties Union, SICK, that sounded the alarm about the threat of overturning Roe v. Wade. Because the tweet, ironically, failed to mention the only demographic biologically capable of actually having, or at least needing, an abortion. And here I'll interject a bit of the obvious. See how they've painted themselves into a corner by no longer talking about birth mothers or females, given transgender wokeism and breastfeeding beatos? The ACLU tweet reads thusly, abortion bans disproportionately harm black, indigenous, and other people of color. The LGBTQ plus community, immigrants, young people, those working to make ends meet, people with disabilities, protecting abortion access is an urgent matter of racial and economic justice. The message, writes Horvat, is clear. The abortion movement is now so fused with the avant-garde of today's wokest leftist revolution that it can't be separated from all identity groups. Leftist theory is now gone so mainstream that the affirmation that a person is a woman can't even be tolerated, as everyone must now be forced into the bizarro non-binary world. Why, he adds, even Planned Parenthood and NARAL that have long written the script in America for the pro-murder of children debate are now having to avoid the W word. They may hold women's marches here and there to impress their grassroots, and even still, occasionally, at least talk about a woman's choice, referring to that past, but now passé, talking point. However, behind the backs of the activists, they're betraying feminists, because, they're not really concerned about females, women, anymore. And you want one more bit of proof? Pro-abortion literature increasingly employs politically correct terms like pregnant people or birthing people to indicate, you know, those people of the feminine persuasion that don't really understand they should have changed their gender, who just might, though, be expecting children. The supposed cause, at least for decades, of the abortion fight, oppressed women, now must be left out, which leads one to the suspicion that it really never was the actual cause in the first place. Why, it's gotten so bad that the New York Times article quotes a feminist scholar, a sick, named Professor Stephen Green of North Carolina State University, who questions the wisdom of changing the message in the middle of the fight. He says it alienates the movement's actual feminist base. Quote, activists are adopting symbols and language that are off-putting, not just to people on the right, but to people in the center and even liberals, unquote. John Horvat summarizes it this way, and I think he's on the right track. Quote, the left no longer hides its goals. This process is directed against God, his law, and the church. Okay, you know the problem I have with the wrong church. If you've heard me talk about it the way Scripture does, you're familiar with the term the whore church. Paul, or Shaul, remember, uses the phrase, another Jesus, whom we have not preached, to make almost an identical point. But John Horvat II is on the right track. I will suggest what we really need to return to is Scripture as actually written, as opposed to what men have said for, 17 centuries or more now that he should have written, if he was actually as smart as they think they are. Which, folks, helps explain exactly how we got here and how things are now literally to the point where the wheels have come off the wagons on the road to hell. Let me summarize it this way, as I have often done, especially of late. We have a choice. Scripture says, I have laid before you this day life and blessing, death and cursing. So choose life that you and your children might live. So there it is. And let me make it just as clear as I possibly can, and almost as clear as he has been. The choice is between life or death. Scripture tells us over and over, but especially there in Deuteronomy chapter 30, to choose life. Yeshua says in John 10:10, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Big Brother says, you have no choice except to choose death. That's what Roe v. Wade is about. That's why we want to take away your guns, take away your God, and make darn sure that we control everything that you speak and are even allowed to think. The choice really is choose life or choose death. And Big Brother has taken off the gloves. They're no longer even hiding it, folks. What they are talking about, what they are pushing down your children's throats, your throats, what they are mandating at the point of a gun is the choice, the only choice that Satan has ever wanted to allow, the choice of death. So let's close with one more story to make that point. Anybody listening to this show old enough to remember when we still thought the FBI was honorable? Well, okay, at least weren't outright Gestapo Nazis from hell. Turns out we were wrong, because as far back as the early 1960s, when they covered up the assassination of a sitting U.S. president, they were a hell of a lot more crooked than any of us realized. Many of us started to get a clue when their sniper, Lon Horiuchi, executed Vicki Weaver while she held her infant baby girl in her arms in Ruby Ridge, Idaho. By the time they executed a church full of men, women, and children in Waco, Texas, and that cover-up was aided by a couple of constitutional gang rapists, including a still traitorous sitting U.S. senator from New York, and perhaps the biggest pervert ever to steal an office, now masquerading as U.S. Marionette-in-Chief, it's just over the last decade or more that we've come to realize, oh no, today's FBI almost makes the Gestapo look warm and fuzzy by comparison. Maybe it's just that the Gestapo didn't have the level of technology that the FBI now uses to suppress Americans and their freedoms. Okay, Mark, well, yeah, we know they're bad. We know they're really bad. But where's this heading? Federal agents late last week raided 3 churches. Wonder if they've got any other mass murders planned in the South. 1 in Texas and 2 in Georgia. All are near military bases. And, of course, they're accused of being cults. What does it take to be a cult nowadays? Read the Bible and worship the one true living God. That seems to be more than enough. In Texas, federal agents raided the Assembly of Prayer. Uh-oh, can't have that now, can we? Christian Church in Killeen, where dozens of Gulag and 2 Facebook reviews of the church refer to it as a cult. Well, that proves it, doesn't it? And they have a habit, it says, of recruiting soldiers from Fort Hood, who, if you think about it, probably won't end up being soldiers much longer anyway, for a whole lot of reasons. While in Georgia, Gestapo agents raided the House of Prayer Church in Hinesville and the Assembly of Prayer Church near Augusta. Notice that these guys really seem to have it out for any church that dares to have the word prayer in its name. Now, why is this going on, you're probably thinking? Well, I'll suggest to you, they're probably not going to tell us the real reason anyway. But according to Cassandra Fairbanks' coverage, and a tweet which she references from WTOC reporter Haley Bolin, who was at the House of Prayer Church shortly after the raid began, the, quote, FBI was conducting an authorized search warrant. What a concept. I guess you can still get them against those people. Anyway, he said they're still there as of 1:45 p.m. after the warrant was served earlier this morning. FBI officials also said they won't be making any arrests today, but that could change as the investigation, sick, continues. Fort Stewart is also in Hinesville, and the churches have been charged specifically with targeting military members to join. Uh-oh, imagine that, folks. A church that actually thinks that people in the military might want to worship God. No wonder the spawn of Satan are so riled up. Anyway, TGP's story concludes by saying that while the reason for the raids remain unclear, is that an understatement or a joke? Local media speculates that it has something to do with those military bases. And I guess, folks, we really can't argue with that now, can we? May Yahuwah bless you and yours.